Welcome to the podcast Tourism from Zero, where we bring you stories about interesting tourism stakeholders in your country. My name is Rudy Medved, and I am accompanied by guests who share their exciting tourism experiences of how they move tourism from zero to hero. Sam Eric Rutman has had a long and successful career in the hospitality industry, which was his childhood dream. After his career ended, he turned the page and started his own consulting business, shifting his focus to supporting boutique and sustainable accommodation with a kind of passion exclusivity, which we talk more about. We also talked about the slow adoption of technology by hoteliers and how they should think about leveraging it by keeping it invisible to the customer and just supporting the back end of their business. We finish our talk with a strong message for young people starting out in the tourism industry. Hello, Sam Eric.
Hello, Rudy. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Thank you for joining. Glad to return the favor, of course, being a guest in your show. I think it's really correct that we hear your part of the story, your part in tourism.
Well, it's very nice of you. This is my, admittedly, it's the first time I'm a guest on somebody's podcast. I'm usually asking a lot of questions and trying to learn from there, but now I think I'm grateful that I have a chance to share something which is hopefully of interest.
Yeah, glad to really reverse things, and it's good for me also to be this time on the other side. And of course, I would like to hear more about what you do. I think you have an interesting things to say. And just for starters, I would like to know a little bit about you personally. What are you doing currently? What have you done?
Yes, well, I'm from Helsinki, Finland, and what I'm currently doing is I'm doing several things. In fact, I just completed a online course for a university, which was something I always wanted to do, and it is a course for hoteliers or hotel marketing people, and particularly focusing on those individual hotels and maybe startup. People want to start up their own hotel business and they don't have the resources or budgets to outsource marketing, but their tools are available for everyone. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving the tips and tricks and sharing my experiences how to do it and how to get started. And that's one of the things. But then secondly, I'm actively involved with an architectural firm in Finland. It's a boutique firm. And so I'm doing the global development for them. So that means that I'm introducing the architectural services to potential hotel developers around the world and have a chance to introduce the friends I have around the world that, through the network that I've developed over the years. So this is those two key things that I'm working on. But I'm also very interested to keep on learning. So I'm active on podcasts and doing live video shows on YouTube and LinkedIn. And that gives me a chance to get to know more people and learn what they're doing and just kind of expanding that friendships around the world.
Great, interesting. So still learning and passing on the knowledge simultaneously.
Well, I think that's this is something that it's inherent to my personality, that I have inherent sense of curiosity about learning new things. And one thing that I remember when I came back to Finland after my corporate career was finished, friends of mine who are in the same age bracket asked me, so you're retiring? I said, well, no, I'm not tired yet. I have so much energy. I still want to do many things. So the word retire doesn't resonate to me that I will have a chance to kick back because the kind of jobs I had before was about hotels, and I still enjoy that sense of about hospitality. But the pace has changed, and I do different things now than I did before. So the vision and the direction I want to take things in hospitality and share my experience and learn new things give me opportunity to be involved in many kind of different projects, like what I mentioned about developing and curating hospitality experiences with a great architectural firm, but also then to document things on video about the journeys a lot of people have, and in that way give people a chance to learn more about other people's journeys. And one of the great example, of course, is how we have met with Tourism from Zero, Locals from Zero, which is to me one of the most fantastic developments that I have seen for a very long time.
Thanks for that, and really to have the opportunity to talk with you on your channel, and really I just hope we inspire someone, you know, through our initiative. We are of course spreading the message further to do better things, you know, for tourism, to explore, to innovate. Of course, that's the primary thing that we're doing here. So if you could just share with me how did actually begin, you know, your story in tourism, or let's say hospitality? How did you start and why?
Well, we have to go back quite a long time for this, and I'll try to compress it to very few things. But I have very strong memories from my childhood. And when I had the first time, we lived in Stockholm with my parents, and I came to visit my relatives in Finland. So I had the first time I had a chance to take a big ship over to from Stockholm to Helsinki, and I saw that the lifestyle and the buffet restaurants and the glamour I experienced, and I actually liked the mood in those cruise ships. And also my parents took me a few times to a very fancy restaurant, and I saw that type of fancy environment, which with good food and friendly service, and people had a good time. So all that kind of left me with a strong sense that I want to one day spend more time. And what actually happened then later on in my life is I got my first job in a hotel as a receptionist. And that is kind of a lifestyle. I thought this could be something I would enjoy doing for a longer period of time. And because I think I made it very clear to myself, what is the purpose of what I'm doing, is that I wrote some simple words and sentences for myself, what the service meant to me. We used very simple language. I mean, customer is a king, and we know never say no to a request a guest has, as long as it's legal, right? But also that I never say I don't know. I always said I will find out. So regardless what the question was, I tried to, it was like a passion of serving people, and being a host, if you will, later on. So that kind of drive took me later on, that I wanted to develop a career for myself, and my dream was to become a general manager of a hotel one day. And the way to go about it was that I found that if I apply for a scholarship with a international scholarship fund that gives a young professional the chance to go to work somewhere and learn about their profession and then advance in the career, that's the route, maybe that would work out. And eventually that helped me to get my first posting to United States, where I eventually stayed 7 years. And went to school there to get my bachelor's degree in hotel administration. This again opened the doors to in the international hotel companies where that came to interview students. Mm-hmm. So I studied very hard to understand what different companies, what is their DNA, and what are the things that is important when it comes to their service culture. And so in those interviews, I have to admit I did quite well. And I finally got a job with an international hotel company, Hyatt International. And that's where my career started internationally. And I had the privilege to work around the world because of this in different countries and in four continents. And eventually this led me to grow in my career and learn more about the jobs. And I never refused a new assignment, even though I said, well, I'm not sure if this is where I want to go, but I just took it because I saw that this is an advancement opportunity to grow in my profession, but also to see the world in the same time. So that was the thinking behind it. And so eventually this led me to a very long career in the corporate hospitality career, which then I completed my assignment finally in 2013 and returned to Finland. And at that time, I realized I need to do something else, turn the page to a new chapter. So I started, as many hoteliers do, they start their own hospitality consultancy. That's one thing to work with an international large corporation and have a business card. Or when you start with your own business, you only rely on your network that you have developed in the past. But some of those networks don't really, you're not very important to them anymore since you don't work for a big company. So you have to find a niche that makes what you do kind of relevant. And so I started to then look around, and my specialty became operator and brand search for hotel developers. And so I did a few assignments in this field. But I think my success really developed further when I met up with the architectural firm, Studio Puisto in Helsinki, over a project. And we realized we are like-minded. The developer wanted me to look at the concept and possibly look at the hotel brand. And the architectural firm was there to design the master, the architecture and the interior design. And we realized that we were speaking the same language and understanding the sense of hospitality, what's important about creating unique experiences. And also we talked about the arrival experience, how important that is when you walk into a hotel. And my favorite thing is that to create the operatic experience. So the experience when you come into a hotel should get better and better and better the further deep you go into the hotel, ending up to the hotel room. And that the architecture forms one part of it, but then it's the service elements and the small ideas in the design that makes so small pleasant surprises for the customer to make it easy for them to stay. And they are really realizing that somebody has thought about a lot of things in very deep detail to make sure that the place is designed for people to have a good time and relaxing time. And that just gave me the chance to start a new chapter in my career, which I, in fact, I never thought about doing that, but it came as an opportunity just to meeting new people. And through this architectural firm, we are doing different projects together. But I think it's important that you have a very clear idea when you work with a new partner, and that you are aligning, the values you are aligning are similar to yours. And I think that's what I tried to work with a number of people, but I realized that if our values did not match, then I would not be very happy, and those people would be disappointed that I'm not doing what they expected. So when I one of the first questions I asked about what are your values from this the Studio Puisto, they talked about creating hotels that are economical, ecological, and sustainable without compromising on functionality and beauty. So all those things are very important to me. Sustainability is very important to me. Ecology is important to me. Well, economical, of course, that goes without saying, has a great importance. So all those has to fulfill a reason why you are doing something. And that's how we are, how we found out, how we found and met each other, and we'll continue to do some great stuff. So that's one side. The other side is something which I had a kind of an idea that maybe I'll try to write an online course or produce a course, because I had done live video, because I felt that this medium of live streaming and podcasting are the things that are gives an opportunity for people to connect with each other in a different way. Of course, not as good as face-to-face, but this is you have an opportunity to be a thought leader in some topics. And this gave me the, sparked me the enthusiasm to create a course for independent hoteliers and hotel entrepreneurs. So I was working on that, and the university was very interested to buy this course from me. So I was working on that for several months, and in fact produced it and designed the content, created the content, and produced the whole course for them. And I realized that that's a very hard work. I didn't realize how hard that is to do, but it was a great learning experience. And I'd like to continue doing those things, and I might do something that relates to people who are starting up the little small companies, and couples or friends who just want to start up with their own hotel, but like to learn what does it actually take to do it.
It's very interesting. When you started, you said you mentioned passion for service, for hospitality, and when I talk to people, why did they start something? You know, it always starts with I had a passion for this and this. You know. And I think this is the main reason. And also, of course, when you mentioned values, when you work with someone that you share similar values. And it's interesting, you were in the really corporate world, working in big hotels. And now you're helping, let's say, smaller boutique accommodation. How was that shift? It was probably very different when you started.
Well, the industry has changed in many ways from the time when I started, specifically when I went to the United States. The U.S. systems were setting the standards for the entire industry, whether it was the agreements between hotel owners and the hotel brands who would manage the hotel on their behalf, or the standardization. And this standardization of services became particularly visible when hotel companies were bought over by airlines, because in airlines have a very specific procedure on everything. And this idea was also then went over to the hotel side. So when I was in the beginning of my career, my job was to write the standard operating manuals for new hotels. And this was basically writing the step-by-step service, sequence of service, what happens to the guest when they walk into a restaurant, what happens to the guest when they arrive to the hotel, what is the employee or the employee supposed to say to the guest when they arrive. And the purpose of that was that when the hotel brand came to a new location, new country, that the a guest would get the same quality standard service anywhere where they're coming in, staying in the world, in their hotels. Mm-hmm. And this, of course, was something which was well known by Holiday Inn and Hilton and all those companies who, whenever you stay in our hotel, there's no surprise because the experience should be the same. But that was pretty much in the beginning of my career, how the hotel industry was seen. And of course, it creates kind of funny situations. I mean, I remember in the hotel that I was writing the standard operating procedure, I wrote for instance, when you walk into the breakfast room and the hostess or the staff welcomes the guest, they say, I wrote down, good morning, sir, /madam, meaning that whenever it's a gentleman, you say, good morning, sir. And whenever it was the lady came with a good morning, madam. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that the staff took it to heart that they asked everyone who came to the breakfast room, "Good morning, sir, madam." And this was something that I didn't realize that when I wrote it, that I assumed that they would separate it, but they followed exactly how I written everything. Mm-hmm. And I learned very quickly that I had to be more careful of what I write, because it was very difficult to change. And when you go to Middle East, to Dubai, and to some of these areas where you have staff who are worked from Asia, and some of the staff have learned this, and they continue to use this habit of, say, they call people "ma'am, sir," for some reason, like "madam, sir." Okay. So this is something you find when you go in hotel in Dubai, particularly. Well, you could hear quite often that from the staff that they're still using this, and this is going back for a couple of generations where these staff did not work, or were maybe not born yet, but maybe it's from the parents or grandparents that they had carried over this. So I think this is something that was a very big thing, but things have changed. And what has changed was that the next big thing was really big hotels and very large hotels, where destinations were built, filled with hotels to bring what we call the incentive groups and creating large events. Mm-hmm. And the hotels became so monumental that you it kind of lost the personal touch. But it was the fashion at the time that you want to bring people by charters to a destination and give everybody an overall seemingly good experience. But I think now the industry has evolved again, that now we are looking for the more personalized, there's a sense of exclusivity, not by money, but exclusivity by the feeling and the passion of experiencing something new in a smaller environment. And because it's personalized, that means that also the hotels and these tourism services will be highly personalized for what people are looking for. And people are prepared to pay to forgetting this experience. So one of the things that has really changed is that the style of service is meant to be more tailor-made or customized. And what helps, of course, is now the technology. The technology has evolved so much that you're able to do that. You're able to find out about your customer who's coming for the first time more than you ever thought, because people are leaving behind them on social media what they like, what they don't like. And you can then, if you're smart, you can read between the lines and create some sort of experience out of that to learn more about the guest before they arrive and create those memorable experiences or creating, in fact, become stories. And those stories become so memorable that people will repeat them to their friends, who will repeat that again to other friends. It could be small things like you surprise the guest with that you, when they arrive in the hotel room, that they have their favorite fruit on a plate for them. And you never ask for it, but it's there waiting for you, and you're happily surprised because this is what you like. And that little small gesture might be one of the highlights of your visit, and that you will tell your friends that, you know, I stayed in that hotel, and can you imagine? They knew that I like passion fruit. And they had to put a small card that, thank you, Mr. Root, for staying with us. And here we'd like to offer you your favorite fruit, passion fruit. So of course, you'll remember maybe that gesture longer than anything else.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. And when speaking about also the innovation and how it has changed, I really think the standards really have changed. Like, it's not, I mean, I personally wouldn't, it would be better like to someone to greet me like in an informal way than formal. I think that's really gotten in front, you know, for the staff also to be a little bit in more informal. How do you see this changing, like in the big hotels? Is it really going this way, or is it still like when you said, good morning, sir, madam, and it's really strict?
Well, I think it has changed. And the thing is that you're getting away from that kind of strict standard operating procedures, because now, of course, you want the staff and their personality to take over, and you are creating, you're yourself, not a robot who are learning the lines, how to greet the guest. I mean, there are certain procedures which are in place relating to the checking in, and or and there are things that are systematic, but the experience that the guest should get from you, it should be the feeling of the personality of that person who greets you and who is looking after you. So they are becoming your, they are your friend when you are arriving, and it's not they are highly formalized, are not right for everyone, and you should be more casual, or whatever fits who, what kind of person you are, should be reflected in how you are treating the person and when you're meeting them, because that makes a difference. If somebody is like a stiff and with a serious face, say welcome to me, or they say in a very friendly and very warm welcome, then you know, the feeling I have when you arrive is very different.
Yeah, I agree. And speaking about also, you mentioned the technology, how it's shaped, and I was wondering how you view on the adoption of technology in the hospitality industry. How is it going?
Well, it's a controversial concept, controversial topic in sense that traditionally hoteliers are they say no, we don't want any technology because it takes away from that experience that we want to give to the guest and so on. And of course, there are some you know, if you're talking about robotics in travel, which is a controversial topic, and often totally misunderstood, you know, the application of robotics in hotels remain so sporadic at best. Sometimes you see hotels want to use like kind of robotics to improve the service, and there are some interesting examples of these hotels in China and also in Japan. There's something, I think it's called Henna Hotel, which was a meant to have the robots in at the guest services to welcome the people, but it's seen as more like a Disney attraction than a real thing. But I think that the most important aspect of technology now is invisible, which means the human enhancing technologies like AI, AR, VR, blockchain, open APIs, etc., and at the service of a biological employee, I mean a real person. And eventually, this will help that the technology is in the background, but it's very efficient. And then, of course, when eventually the person can be replaced by robots, it's not the machine robot, but it's just a machine in the background, when it means back offices, revenue managements, or forecasting, or luggage transportation, or some self-service elements, which doesn't mean need a person, that is handled through the technology, because it's efficient. They don't need to take a break, and they will not forget. So it's always working very fluently. The many of the service mistakes that happens in hotels are because of staff forgot something, or somebody's checked into a room that was not clean. It's a human error. It would never happen when you have a robotics involved in that. So the human touch and the service side is handled by the person, but the technology should remain in the background. And of course, there are then these bots that you are, if you're contacting the hotel, and there is it's automated service. I think that's a way to also to provide more efficient service, because you see many hotels you're contacting on a weekend, particularly independent hotels, and you send a message to the hotel, and you say, they will say, well, thank you for contacting us. Your message is very important to us, and we will answer you in 3 days, because it was a long weekend and there was no staff working. in reality, I would not have the patience to wait for several days before somebody will contacting me. I would expect that I would get some sort of automated service reply and able to answer my basic questions that, do you have rooms available? What is the weather like currently in your part of the world? Etc. You know, those are things that doesn't need to wait for so many days before you make a decision whether you should travel there.
Yeah, no. So we're really talking about minimizing mistakes and making it easier for the guest to, let's say, book or anything else, like have some extras delivered to his room or something. So really making the customer journey better. That's really the point in this.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, because many people, of course, would immediately think about, okay, robots, now we won't have any receptionists left. But that's really maybe a little bit extreme.
Yes, currently. I mean, just imagine that you're arriving to a hotel and there is somebody who will recognize you and you have never met each other before. And the only thing that you notice is that the person who is meeting you is wearing glasses. In those glasses, they can see some information about the person who's coming. So there's that the facial recognition.
Wow.
So then you know, hello, Rudy, welcome. So that's a very big surprise that somebody greets you saying, hello, Rudy, even you have never met before and you don't know who that person is. So that's the kind of technology which is already available. They have some companies like Google tried to create their glasses, which was not very successful. But the technology is everything is available from a technology point of view. It's a question of implementing it in a smart way that it actually works and it's providing an enhances that experience for the person who's coming to the place.
Yeah, I also saw on your YouTube channel that you have a scheduled talk about artificial intelligence in hospitality. I'm really looking forward to that one.
Yeah, I mean, this there's Lasse Rohiainen. He's he's Finnish, but he lives in Spain, and he's a specialist on artificial intelligence. And we will have a interesting discussion about this whole idea about the opportunities tourism companies have to use artificial intelligence and leverage themselves much better than they are doing now. So this is going to be an interesting discussion. So I hope everyone listening to this podcast will have a chance to join in.
Yeah, of course. I will post the link in our podcast description to your channel. And of course, they can subscribe and follow for more details, innovations on hospitality, of course. But how do you generally like now during the COVID? Did you see any maybe acceleration in the adoption of those technologies, like in some other sectors?
Well, what I particularly have seen now that the technology that many hotels were reluctant to implement because they were thinking, well, I want to wait to see that somebody else is implementing it before me. This is typically hoteliers. They don't want to, they may not have a budget for do these things, or the hotel owners don't want to spend the money because they worry about spending the money. And then by the time the technology has been implemented, which might have been very expensive, then there's a new version there's a new improved product. So they want to wait always for the next product before they implement it. And the impact has been that technology costs less to implement, and there are certain technology which is customer will expect keyless entries to the hotel rooms. Customers expect that you have you can use your mobile device to open the door to your room. You can use your mobile device as your remote control for the TV. There's more and more coming out this conversational applications where you're in the hotel room. You can ask Siri or Alexa or one of those apps to do things for you. And that becomes very, very normal. And because the technology exists and it's totally underutilized, even though most of us who have a smartphone, we have this application available, but we don't use it. And so I think it's just a matter of practicing using it and then be brave enough to expect that when I go to a hotel that this should be available. And usually then the hotel experience or the room experience is customized according to my liking. I might have some particular things I like to, if I'm with a family and I have my kids with me and they enjoy playing some particular game, that game is installed in the TV set. So you have a chance to use that and do things that you are normally used to. So, I mean, that kind of things is happening very clearly. But also that another things which has changed is that in terms of product services, many hotels gave up on room service because they saw it as a very unprofitable way of having a staffing and offering things, because the cost of the menu becomes very expensive. Who's willing to pay for a club sandwich 25 or 30 euros? I mean, it's basically toast bread with some condiments between. So what has happened now that they are opening up the opportunity for guests can order anything they like from a neighborhood restaurant and they are delivered to the hotel. And this was a big no-no for a long time. Hotel said, no, we don't want to take the risk that some food that has not been prepared in our hotel will enter through the room. And then if the guests get sick, they may sue us. Those were the big discussions. And they said, no, anyway, we have a hotel and we have restaurants. We don't promote any other restaurants. So that is a thing of the past. And that has really changed because of what has recently happened, that there's more takeaway opportunities from restaurants, which was not normal. Many restaurants didn't have takeaway services, but that is the norm. And that is one of the things that I think is here to stay, that I was just interviewing some hotels in US and also some European hotels where they have a station where the delivery service can bring their food. And that's where you can get. And so of course the delivery person doesn't come to your hotel room, but you can pick up it from the reception, for instance. And then if you feel like eating one evening Korean or Japanese or Chinese or Arabic, you can order it and you will get it. And it's usually much faster than the room service prepared food from the hotel.
No, really, I like the idea. And of course, the expectations have changed, especially right now during the pandemic. And I think hotels and other accommodations will have to adjust. And I'm really looking forward to seeing some new innovation in hospitality, because when I worked in a hotel a few years ago, there wasn't really so much innovation in a five star hotel that you would expect, of course. And then you ask yourself, of course, when is this going to happen? And I think this the pandemic has really has accelerated this everything. So I'm looking forward to new innovations.
Yeah, and then of course the change is that there are a number of disruptors that have entered the market even before the COVID. For instance, the Airbnb as a good example. Airbnb was meant air mattress bed, air bed and breakfast, and then it became the place when you want to go on holiday in the city you have never been before, but it's in a neighborhood, so you get to know the neighborhood because your host is the person who owns the apartment who you rent it from. So they become the disruptors in this whole industry, and hotels were raising their arms that this is not fair, you should not allow these Airbnb operators to dominate our city. That was a big complaint for a while, but now the case is that the hotels will have to adjust according to what customers needs.
Yeah.
And that's the change we are going through right now.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned this, especially, of course, the sharing economy. It has really disrupted the whole the sector. And interesting. Hotels will definitely have to adjust.
Well, the customer has a choice, basically. I mean, they will have a choice, and if they don't get it from the hotel, they will go somewhere else. I mean, this is how the business always evolves, and it's up to the hotel to be more innovative. In the COVID, good example of the COVID period was that, particularly here in Helsinki, was one case where a hotel runs maybe 10% occupancy during the weekday, and weekends they run about 50%. It has become a place for like staycations. So a business hotel becomes the popular place to stay during weekends. But also then, when we had some, let's say during the Easter holidays, the hotels were qu very quiet. So you had a whole restaurant in the hotel. They said, well, book your Easter dinner. Even though the restaurant is closed, we serve the dinner in a hotel room at this price. And so then you have the room for the dinner period, or you can stay overnight. And so they reserved 20 rooms for people to book a dinner with this very popular restaurant, and they were booked in advance because it was a little bit of a different concept than saying that we want to sell your room for overnight, which nobody wanted, but people want to have dinner because the restaurants were closed. So they just turned things around, and that's the way how people who are innovative, they find a different way how to approach this and then give people what they want.
Yeah, that's innovation, and also like the concept when hotels were offering rooms for offices for people that wanted to work away, like digital nomads, and you could really work in a hotel room and turn it into your office. That's I think really is also a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Sam, I would like to ask you, what would your advice be for young people starting out in the tourism industry?
That's a very good question, and it only comes down to that you have to do, if you have a calling for tourism and you have a passion for it, you have to have passion for it before you do it. Of course, it's if you want to test it out, then that's fine. But I think you have to, if you have it inside yourself that this is something that you would really enjoy doing, then you are trying to use social media, the professional social networks that are business networks, to develop contacts and connections with industry leaders. And you may say, well, I tried to connect, but they will never answer. Sure, that happens, but there are also people who will answer. And also, it's important to develop a profile, a business profile about yourself in places like LinkedIn, and set your basic profile. And not so much, people are not interested that you have been a waiter for 6 months before or worked a summer job. People are more interested to know what you want to do in the future and what is your passion and what is your idea about what you want to do. They are interested in your future rather than in your past, because if you start in your career, you don't have a past as a professional. And people will not expect you to have it, but they were very much interested in who you are. Train yourself to be ready to be on an interview on video. And practice in front of that mirror and camera to be very professional when you are interviewed, because a majority of the interviews for any jobs are handled by Zoom or Teams and so on. And then they will look at you, how you present yourself in that medium. And you have to get away from the TikTok mode. You have to get into a very professional mode when you are facing them, and they want to know who you are behind that name, and what is your passion. They want to know about your passion, and if you have a passion, it will shine through your eyes and in your facial expressions and your enthusiasm. And people like to hire people who are enthusiastic about themselves, not overly fake, but they are enthusiastic. And also they have some confidence in themselves. And confidence is something that only can be built over time. I would have never been able to speak in public when I started my career. I was very shy. So I have to practice very hard and learn. And this is something that become skilled, get a skill about public speaking and practice a lot about that. And then that will help to land the job. But also when you are focusing, if you know exactly who you want to work for, study them very, very hard in the sense that understanding the detail about the company, what is their DNA, what are their values, what is their mission, who owns the brand, who is behind the brand. And then you ask yourself, would I like to dedicate my part of my career and my time to work for this company? If that answer is yes, then you will go through different ways to approach this company, not asking for a job, because that's the you should communicate in a way that you are there to also to give some ideas about, and also if you are having some particular topic that they talk about, comment on their social media postings about what you liked about it or what you didn't like about it, because people want to hear some honest comments about their own company and learn from there. And the more you do that, then people start to recognize and pay attention to who you are. So it is in one way more difficult than ever to find a job in tourism after so many people have been laid off and they are now changed their careers. But there's always people who are who stand out. And by standing out, that means that you will need to practice and polish your skills in presenting yourself professionally, because if they are investing in you, you are the one who has to invest in yourself before that.
Mm. It's good that you mentioned LinkedIn and the presence on there. That's actually how we met. Actually, when Jaka commented on the post, I think you had with Juho, the podcast, and that's how you came in touch, and that's how we met. And it's basically a good story and a good really showing how can you come in contact with industry leaders or your business partners and potential employers. Really, I think it's a good network.
Yeah, I mean, this example you mentioned how we met and with Jaka and so on was that taking initiative and just taking the initiative and take it to the next step. And one thing leads to the next thing. And as you mentioned, I heard about you from Juho, who we had a discussion in one of the episodes, and he mentioned about the activities that you're doing, and I got interested in it, and then we just one thing leads to another, and this is exactly what happens to everyone, even when they are starting their career. If they express interest in what somebody else is doing, there's one way it's flattering in one way, because then it means that that person also have something to offer and you have something to give, and that's a give and take.
Mm. Yeah, really good example on the potential of LinkedIn, and just really not just LinkedIn but any other network practically, or even in person. Just step up to the person and tell him what do you do, what are you interested in, what's your passion, and I think good things can come out of that. Just for the last question, Sam, it's a question that I ask every guest on the podcast. You probably know it's. I'm interested in your idea on how to start tourism from zero after the pandemic.
I was looking forward to this question, and my answer is quite straightforward. Is that you're already doing some great things of collecting lots of ideas. Was it 900 ideas? Yes. About this? But I think the next step really is to use the media available that you have and start to document content for people to see what those ideas are. And all you need to have is a mobile device, like a mobile telephone, take some videos, spend a little bit money on a decent microphone, which could cost maybe 30 or 40 euro. Plug it into the mobile device, have a tripod, and start to document that idea, or visiting one of the small service providers and sharing this idea, and then distribute this video on the social networks. And this is a way how people will start to get to know the magical vineyard or shoemaker or any of those small service providers that you are now promoting through your own platforms. But I think that I remember you mentioned about this shoemaker who was mm-hmm. making in a very traditional way shoes. I'd love to see a small video how he does it and how he explains his little process, just to get the taste of it, because that taste already would inspire me to make a trip.
Oh wow, that's a really good idea, and it's a plan to do these things, like mini documentaries about each provider, and to give him an opportunity to share his passion, like the shoemaker. Yeah, that's a really good idea.
And don't worry so much that don't worry so much about that everything's perfect technically. It's not important. The authenticity is more important, and it's also even if you do it as a live on which you can do on Facebook or LinkedIn or or YouTube, you can do as a live. You can use your mobile device. That hey, come on this event in 2 weeks' time. We're gonna go to this and this village, meeting the artisan who is specializing on traditional making shoes, and you will meet this and this person. And we'll start at this time, and bring your questions or comments, and learn about this. And then people will jump in and come and look at it. And it can be a 15-minute thing. It doesn't have to be a perfect production. The most important thing, it's the authenticity. You open the door to the world that they didn't know about yet. And so I'm very very interested that you developed this idea, because I think this is one of the keys, not the only key, but one of the keys how you can expand the knowledge about the Tourism from Zero worldwide. I mean, you are now you are sort of a pioneer in this in Slovenia, and I am very confident that there is interest in other countries for this once they see how it actually works. And you already have your scout program is excellent, where they are you can book some interesting visits to some herbal farms and so on, and or honey collecting farms and so on. These are the things that people are interested in these days.
Yeah, no, that's great to hear, really. Thank you for the feedback. And besides the video, I'm looking forward for you to coming to Slovenia to show you that sort of experiences.
Well, thank you. I've been telling my wife about Slovenia, and I every time we speak, I learn more and more. And I think it's so amazing that you have this beautiful country, Slovenia, in the Central Europe, which I knew, embarrassingly, I didn't know not much about, except Ljubljana, but that's, and I know that you have a Eurovision contest, and that's how bad my knowledge was until now.
Yeah, besides that, we do have something more.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, great, Sam Erik. Really, thank you for this conversation. That's our second conversation, and I hope we'll have many more, and of course, in person.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Rudy. Thank you very much again for inviting me. It's been really an honor and a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And good luck with your show. I will post the link. I hope many people get true knowledge about hospitality. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Tourism from Zero podcast. If you like our show, you can subscribe in your podcast application or follow us on social media. You're also welcome to join our community, Ideas from Zero, for more interesting content about tourism.